Dark Horse Live, episode 103 tonight.
103?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, man, I thought it was 102. I put 102 on Instagram.
I might be wrong. I don't know. I'm never right, so you're probably more right. But I wrote 103 on the title, so it's 103 for now. But welcome, everybody. I think Caesar just told me Beavis is in chat.
Yep,
Beavis. Welcome is back, in chat. Beavis, bro. We heard that you got through your court stuff, and yeah, longtime listener. We are stoked to see you back around, my friend. Welcome back. But all right, so on the show today, we have Beard Bros Farms, a healthy set of beards coming on the program. We're going to talk a little bit about marijuana doctors. There's an interesting story came out of DC where you can like self-diagnose your own medical card, so I want to talk about it. And yeah, free shit. I want to ask right off the top of the show, am I being clickbaity? Are we clickbaity by like not talking about the title of the topic for like 15 minutes and bullshitting and then doing free shit and then doing other stuff? So people who click on the video always see those comments like topic starts at 15 minutes and 43 seconds or whatever, the little hyperlink in the chat, which I'm cool with that. I appreciate that, people. But should we just dig straight into the topic of the show right off the jump, so people who just click on the title are like, all right, they're talking about what the fuck the title says? Or should we do our little warm-up and everything else and free shit and do that first, but or should we do it last? Caesar, what do you think?
I think we should pretty much keep doing it the way we're doing, because every other YouTube channel that I see, they start off with their commercials, you know, they pay some bills, they do what they got to do, give away some stuff, and then get into the show. They don't wait, you know, they don't hold it off.
All right. I thought I had a feeling that we might be a little clickbaity right now, but let us know in the comments in the YouTube channel and the Twitch and all the chat and all that stuff. Let us know what you think. Should we go straight to topic, or do we do the warm-up and the topic comes 15-20 minutes into the show?
People like it the way it is, they said.
Yeah, I like that. All right, anyway, let's do what should we do first? Do you want a free shit? Strain of the week?
Strain of the week.
TH Caesar strain of the week.
All right, so this one right here is the Marcy Projects number one, Project 4516 to Great Pie Gel Fuel Gelato. I got these seeds from, I believe, Canerado. I forgot who I got these from. It was either Canerado or Compound Genetics. These seeds were never released. People thought that this was a Grandiflora and Compound collab. It's not. They just used the 4516, but this is a Canerado and Compound collab, being that Great Pie is Canerado, Jet Fuel Gelato is Compound. That's where the collab comes in. So when they're using other people's strains and genetics, that's not, like, for the female side, that wasn't the collab part. But this didn't get released. So if anybody does have any of these clones, I lost it. I definitely look forward to getting it back. It produced massive. I'm pretty sure you've seen it today, Jason, like, just sitting, like, in the warehouse.
Yeah, that was that big-ass plant on the table.
Plant falling over because it's so damn heavy under these new lights. The old lights that we were growing it under didn't perform as well, but this one, this round, crushes. Nice chunky buds, heavy on the Great Pie Jet Fuel Gelato side, not as much Project 4516 terp profile, but it's got that look, it's got the bag appeal, it's got the early finish, it's got an amazing structure. I'm telling you, if you look at my Instagram video right now, you'll see it's so heavy. The plant needed a trellis to hold itself up because it's so solid. Like, those plants were short, fat, dense, chunky early. So for those that are looking for strains that are commercially viable via short, fat, dense, chunky, and fast finishes, I would definitely recommend the project, Marcy Projects.
I just noticed something.
What?
You talk way better with your grill in now than you did before.
I noticed what was wrong. I had to bite down so it's like physically like flush to my
teeth.
You
got it tighter now? Yeah. Before I used to have this.
It was a grill little lisp. It's a little gap. Now it's like perfectly on my teeth now. So I
somehow,
noticed
that too. I can't even, almost didn't tell. I looked up and I was like, his mouth is gold. All right. Buttons working. There we go. Buttons are working. All right, everybody. Let's do the interview. Beard Bros. The Beard Bros. Cool guys. Healthy set of beards. They long-term cultivators and run a media channel, blog, website. But yeah, I think they're cool guys. Check out this interview, The Beard Bros. All right, everybody. We are here with Beard Bros Farms. One Bill and one Jeff. Bill would be on the right, Jeff is on the left. But thanks for coming on the program, guys. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you asking us on, and we're happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for stopping by.
So as we normally do, we kind of ask people to take us way back to the beginning. We have a couple of you on here today, but I guess if you will, one at a time, real briefly, sort of take us to your introduction of cannabis, and we're going to kind of figure out who you guys are as we get through this interview. But yeah, tell us who you are and essentially your first introduction to cannabis, if you would.
You want to go first, Jeff, or you want me to?
I'll let you go first as the older brother, plus our stories kind of intertwined together. So
you guys are actual brothers right off the jump?
We are actual brothers. Okay. One of the most common questions we get, are you guys actual brothers? So get that one out of the way right away. It's perfect. So my introduction to cannabis, now that I'm living in LA, my introduction to cannabis was in central Pennsylvania, but it was by a very good friend of mine whose parents were professors from Cal State Fullerton and had moved to central Pennsylvania where I was living. He had an older brother that was in college. So my first introduction to cannabis was, the same night we got a bottle of old granddad out of the liquor cabinet, we took some of his brother's weed and we smoked it. And that was my first introduction, which I always laughed about because it was so ironic that I ended up living very near Fullerton when we first got to LA. But beyond that, I just realized at an early age that I didn't know at the time, but cannabis was able to help me slow down and focus. Now I realize I might have a brain that's somewhat scattered, and being able to slow down and focus is a good thing.
Nice.
Yeah. And with Bill being my older brother by 6 years, obviously as a young kid, I always sensed it or smelled it or, you know, all the common things around. But my first experience with it was at the age of 13. I was going to a YMCA basketball practice in Jacksonville in Florida, where we lived at the time, and had Bill and another one of his friends pick me up from practice. I don't remember if I actually smelled it in the car already from them on the drive there or what piqued me to ask, but I said, you know, I want to try that. And being a good older brother, he let me try it, and here we are.
Did he have good weed? Do you remember if it was good weed or bad weed the first time you smoked? We're talking swag, or are we talking, did your older brother have like fire weed?
I know he had good weed. I didn't know at the time if it was good weed or not. I'll definitely go with that. I know I remember coughing like crazy. I remember feeling something from it, but yeah, no concept of did it taste good, taste bad, was it high THC? Did it have a good profile?
So you had the benefit of Big Brother Bill like going through the bullshit phases, finding like the shit weed. So by the time you came on to smoking, he's like, I'll just turn you on to the good stuff so you don't have to go through all the bullshit. Does that sound accurate, Bill?
I was older in my teenage years. It was always he left the shittier stuff around for me to find.
That's true, too. Yeah. You get the shit stuff. I'll take the good stuff.
I'm going to say, you know what I think Jeff first smoked was something I was growing, but he didn't know we were growing it. Because when he was 13, I was 19. And that was when I started cultivating on my own. So there's a very good chance he might have smoked something that I had cultivated very early on.
Nice. Talk to me about the start of your growing career. Why did you decide to start growing cannabis? And what were the first couple strains that you grew? We always ask people, do you remember the first seed that you popped?
I do. I'm trying to remember exactly the strains. It's probably an NL5 and probably some type of haze, because the first cannabis plants I ever grew, well, the ones I actually grew with intention rather than just finding some seeds in a bag, we ordered from overseas. They came from Amsterdam. I don't remember the seed bank at the time. It's probably a seed bank that we've written about since then in the last couple of years with our media. But my first growing, I started growing, again, more than just planting a seed out of a bag on the side of a field. When I started growing with intention, it was through a friend of mine. His father had always been into plants, and I had a job taking care of interior plants with him. So we would go water plants like big palm trees and chevaleras and things like that, interior plants in malls and hotels. So we started cultivating with him. I was 18, I think, when we started doing that, and we started experimenting with the NFT hydroponic systems. We got raided in Jacksonville, and it was either 89 or 90. We were raided for cultivation there. Somebody ratted us out. Somebody else got in trouble and ratted us out, and the police came. But that was literally where my first growing started, was late 80s, early 90s, with ordering seeds from overseas.
Beautiful. What about you, Jeff? Did you pick up your brother's habit and start growing cannabis too?
With the age difference, when we lived in Florida, it was mostly me just trying to get in the grow room and see what was going on and being curious about it. After high school, I ended up at University of Florida. We joked about this on a podcast we did a week or two ago because I never really thought about it this way. But we were vertically integrated all the way back then because when I was in college, I was getting flour from him and flour from other friends down South Florida and Kentucky and Tennessee and moving it around at college. So I was handling the distribution side of things when he was handling cultivation. We were a micro business even back then. And it was somebody asking us that on a recent podcast. We brought that up. But no, my first real cultivation experience with intention was when we moved to Colorado in 2010. We moved just outside of Boulder to a city that called Nederland that was at about 8,500 foot altitude. And we just had a little small spare room there that we were able to take that product down as caregiver under the caregiver model to the local dispensaries and just sell. And it spawned from there to moving to California and obviously getting into more scaled operations.
Did you guys sell to Grateful Meds? That's the shop I recall being the big shop in Netherland in 2013, 14-ish or whatever. But does that ring true to you?
Absolutely does.
Yeah. You know, we were there in 10 into 11 from like summer of 10 to summer of 11 before moving to California.
Netherland. A lot of people don't realize this. Netherland had legalized cannabis for anybody 18 and older, period.
Yep.
Period. So that was the thing. If you were an adult in Netherland, you could get cannabis. And they also had, I think, like the highest per capita number of shops per person. It was like five shops in a town of like 3,000 people or something.
But it was a very unique town. It had a lot of the professors from CU lived up there, and it was a very eclectic mix of artists and intellectuals. It was a really cool place to live for a year coming out of the Southeast Florida or Northeast Florida, Southeast Georgia region we lived in prior to that. It was kind of eye-opening.
A lot of musicians live up there, like the String Cheese Boys and Leftover yep. Salmon Boys, and they have the acid jazz at the coffee shop back in the day. I mean, it was legendary concerts. You could go see world-class musicians picking away on, you know, bluegrass, whatever it may be, in town. Like, Nederland was an amazing cannabis hotspot. I think it's safe to say now, or without spoiling any secrets, like, Nederland was a cannabis hotspot in Colorado for, I don't know, 20, 30 years before legalization. Like, there was nothing but granola old hippies up there, and it was a breadbasket of like super fire weed. And all yep. of us kids in high school would basically buy our weed out of Boulder, but it was really coming down the canyon from Nederland. And eventually you make your way up the food chain to start meeting the real growers up in Nederland. And it was a old network, something almost like Arcata or Humboldt or something like that, where it's just like, this is a good old boy network up here, and really cool town.
It extended all the way up the peak to peak, all the way up there to Longmont as yep. well. There were some guys up in that area too.
Yep, Ward, yeah, all that stuff, the marijuana basket.
We ended up hanging out with Vince Herman's kids.
Yep.
Leftover Salmon.
Yeah, Vince is super dope. But yeah, so I guess what we didn't talk about is, what is Beer Bros Farms? If you go to their Instagram, it's not the typical Instagram. It's kind of like a media, so it's not a meme page, but it's like a news page, if you say. I think when Caesar kind of described you, it's the blacklist that's not bullshit. It's, you know what I mean? So like, I personally don't like blacklist. They don't vet anything. They'll just post anything for anything. But yeah, I'm intrigued to kind of hear your guys' story. First of all, tell us, what is Beer Bros Farms, the IG page, and kind of how did you decide to do that? And just sort of tell us the story, if you will.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I would say I think that depends really on what time frame you looked at the Beer Bros Farm Instagram page. From when we moved to California in 11 until Prop 19 didn't pass in 2012, we were primarily cultivators. And when it didn't pass, we realized we needed to brand ourselves. And Beer Bros Farms was the authentic way to brand ourselves and stand out from the crowd at a time when most really weren't willing to put their face on packaging. And up until the 16, 17 times, that was, you know, cultivation is what we were known for. If you looked at our page, you would have seen our flower, all of our different strains and all different phases of growth. We actually refer to it now kind of looking back as our lookbook. When Bill would go to dispensaries and try to sell them flower, he could pull up the IG and put in hashtag BB underscore extreme cream or motor breath and literally show them, here's the plant growing through all the phases. Here's it being trimmed. Here's it post cure. And it gave that single source and that brand quality feel to it. So if you'd looked at it then, that's all you would have seen. With the impending Prop 64 legalization coming, even though we weren't proponents of it, we recognized the writing on the wall and we started to aggregate news for ourselves to know where we could move within the industry when it pivoted. And we started to realize all the other people we were going to the Seshes and the High Times Cups and Chalice and all these different events to, we're all trying to figure the same things out. So we started putting that aggregated information up for people. We became the trusted source. You mentioned Blacklist. We kind of have the joke that they're the TMZ of the entertainment side of things of cannabis, and we're the CNN. We do take pride in what we put out and the messages we put behind it. And we're not just looking to grab the attention to the train wrecks. We focus on the train wrecks if they merit the attention, but it's not the primary focus of what we do. But so, yeah. So in 2017, 2018 is really where the pivot happened over to the media side of things. And a lot of it was due to LA not giving a path to licensing for cultivators unless you were already working with Prop D pre-ICO dispensaries. So we went from legal on December 31st of 2017 to illegal on January 1st of 2018 in the same space we had operated in for 4 years. So we made the pivot out of necessity, but it's actually kind of turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Bill handles a lot more of the Instagram feed on the media side of things. I'll kind of let him kind of carry the story forward from there.
So cut magic splash. We just had to do a quick edit because the CPU was melting and the words weren't matching the lips, but we are back. And Jeff threw it to Bill, and Bill, I'll let you take it from there. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So in 2017 and 18, as Jeff was referencing, we were starting to aggregate information for people. We wanted to help other cultivators like ourselves find a path to, a legal license if they were so choose to or wanted to. And what we realized was there wasn't a concise media out there that were also operators that understood the inside of it. There was a lot of obviously media being put out about cannabis, and a lot of it was really more focused toward the financials, which didn't really cover the culture of it. So people were getting what we felt was somewhat of a false impression from mainstream media on what was really happening in cannabis. So we just really concentrated on giving an operator's view. That really caught on. People appreciated it. Our point of view was not average or standard of what they were seeing. So our media really started to take off. 2018 is when we started to aggregate our own stories. And now, other than just really brief aggregation for daily news stuff, we do aggregate all of our own stories. So what you've seen is a progression of us two brothers who came to California as cultivators and producers, having to overcome adversity through legislation, pivoting towards media because that would keep us on people's Instagram page or them coming to our .com in order to just keep a presence, because we really felt like if we didn't, it might be a situation where we would be gone. You know, all the years we had spent building up trust with patients and growing quality meds for people might just all be lost. Turns out that our flip to media garnered us even more attention or views from people, because now we weren't just a Southern California brand that grew really good product. We were now people who were giving out information nationwide and worldwide. So it's been a very interesting ride, but definitely a transition from production to media. But we've never lost that. We're cultivators at heart, and that's truly what we want to do and what we like to do within the industry.
Do you guys currently have a cultivation like in Southern California or a brand that's on the shelves, or is it you focus mainly on the media since it sort of went crazy over there in California with their legalization?
Well, we're doing both. We are not currently cultivating. We had a few licensing agreements that hadn't worked out. Difference of opinion, things like that. We do have high THC and high CBD RSO. So we do have products in about 100 shops here in California. We do have a California legal license for distribution and manufacturing.
Gotcha. So I guess you say you aggregate your own news, meaning that you basically source your own news? Like I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what becomes a news story to you? Is it just, obviously you address the bigger headlines across the nation, but are you hunting out, actively hunting out news stories? Like, I'm thinking of the investigative journalism people on the news that are like, iTeam discovers or whatever. Is that you guys, or is it more or less, we're just going to aggregate the best information in one spot that we can sort of find?
Well, we started writing our own stories, and we have a crew behind us that does writing. We direct it. So basically what we found is our direction of the story is what, and our point of view is what tends to be the attraction to us. It's an authentic point of view coming from people who have operated within the industry. So we do tend to look at what the mainstream stories are and then give our own takes on them in our own words.
Gotcha.
Rather than just aggregating a one or two sentence opinion of ours at the front of somebody else's story.
Gotcha.
Yeah, basically, if we're bringing a story out, it's usually already pre-vetted that it's a valuable story for people to read. And then we're giving a unique take on it, usually that you don't see elsewhere. And as Bill said, it's coming from within the industry. So it's become much more of an operator-friendly media site. But we also look to educate. So anything on the new front medically, on the new front with psychedelics, we're also getting involved with as well, because we're looking to take on those things ourselves as holistic products and wellness products, and building that consumer trust just translates into all of those areas as well.
Gotcha. What traditionally generates like big interest for you? Is it kind of the attack negative sort of stuff, or is it the celebration of, you know, this state is now legal or something like that? What would you say to something like that as far as like what gets the likes or the clicks?
Well, it's funny. We've talked about this. Ironically, what gets the most likes or clicks is something where we are not necessarily negatively, but calling out. You spoke about it earlier. Everybody wants to see a train wreck. So the train wrecks get the most attention. But the reality of it is what we're more interested in is the feel-good stories. Let's talk about getting people out of jail. Let's talk about helping veterans. Let's talk about advancing, regulations in a state that might not have had it. So we're not really too concerned with the likes and clicks anymore, quite honestly. We're concerned with putting out real news that doesn't repeat itself, that is valuable to people that are tuning in.
Sure. Is it all social media based, or do you have like a website or a blog kind of that you run off, or is it just Instagram? And I'll make it a two-parter. Have you had trouble with Instagram, like all of the cannabis people? Are you losing posts of just facts? And is it just social media? And how has your social media experience been?
That is the one part of the earlier discussion about what our social media looked like that I did not hit on, was when I was talking about if you were seeing us between 2011 and 2017 or 18, you would have seen all of our cannabis photos on there. But we actually did get shut down at 116,000 followers and have not been able to get that account back. So I think, Bill, what'd you figure out? We probably lost between 5,000 and 6,000 photos that were of cultivation, finished product, all of that we can't get back and don't have access to.
That's why I can't use Instagram like that. It's just I'm telling everybody use Discord for documentation, because they're not quick to take you down like Instagram is.
Yeah, we lost our 80,000 something person page, and I just, more than the followers, which I miss, but it's that, all those pictures, man. Like you say, it was your memory book. It was everyone's memory book. And imagine losing your photo album. I mean, it's not as precious as your childhood photo album, but it's like your history of work photo album is just yanked from your arms and thrown in a fire, and you're never getting it back. It's like,
we had 12,000 posts, about nine to 10 years put in 12,000 posts. To answer your question, well, it's ironic. You know, the only reason people use Instagram is because it's got a base of people that are not getting deleted. It's only us cannabis people. It's only like 0.1% of Instagram that's having to deal with this bullshit. And I hate it because you can't get away with it. You can't get away from it, because the reality of it is that's where all the people that we've spoken to for 10 years are at. But we were also deleted back in 2015. That was the genesis to start our own website. Once we had our own website up, it wasn't really a lot of articles we were putting up there. We had merchandise we were selling and things like that. But what it turned into is, to answer your question, our main thing on social media now is beerbrosfarms.com. Farms with a PH. We've got over 600 originally written articles dating back 4 years. We've also got 4 years of a Friday newsletter. So what we did in 2015 is we realized that Instagram was horrible. They deleted our main page back then. We got it back, and it lasted until last December. But we also at the same time realized, let's utilize Instagram to move people to a platform that they can't take from us. And that's a .com and or a weekly newsletter. So we've got over 225 weekly editions of our newsletter. and over 600 articles that are all on our website. And that's what we move people to. I literally put stories up on Instagram and I put the link on right to the website, right to the story, because I'm not trying to put anything on Instagram that I don't need to. And I want to direct people to the website.
Have you tried Discord?
It's funny. We joke about that. I'm old, right? So to me, Discord is just like this never ending list of text messages. And it's just, I understand the value of it. I just don't have the bandwidth in my day to decipher it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it took me like a year to learn it. So it's, I know what you're talking about.
I do like it though, but what we've realized is, well, first of all, Twitter's never banned. I've had a Twitter. We didn't use it as a primary source, but it's never taken anything away from us ever.
There's just not many cannabis accounts on Twitter, so I feel like everybody's on Instagram. That's why everybody's there.
That's what I was saying earlier. It sucks because you have to be on Instagram. Even when they delete you, you can hate them and you can say, "Oh, I'm never going back there again." But you will.
This is my seventh account. Yeah. Like that no matter how many times they take me down, I need Instagram to learn.
So. I don't have a Twitter, but it is strange that like the cannabis community never adopted Twitter.
Because you can't post pictures. I mean, you can now.
That's the thing. It's almost the exact same fucking app. You can comment on posts. I think you limit your text to like 32 characters or something stupid.
I only have Twitter to follow Black Twitter. That's about
For some reason. Yeah, the cannabis community.
I'm not going to lie. I actually didn't get a Twitter until 2 weeks ago when we did a Twitter Spaces with somebody. And as a sports fan, like Twitter was huge in the sports world. So it's actually kind of funny that I didn't get involved with it to follow my athletes, to see what they were saying, all that kind of stuff. But
totally. Do you see Twitter potentially becoming a social media tool for cannabis, or are people still going to avoid it, you think?
I mean, I think if people adopt it, it'll get used. There was a push recently for people, when Elon was going to buy it, right? Everybody was, hey, let's go to Twitter. We know he's not going to censor us. And they won't. I mean, let's face it, you can go to Twitter and watch porn if you want. Like, they're not censoring cannabis. So I agree with you, though. It's not an easy interface. It's not as simple and as nice to use as Instagram. You can't put up multiple photos. You're limited on the number of characters. So it's just, to me, it's just a little bit more clunky than Instagram. And let's face it, Instagram was popular for people with cannabis because it was just a place to share photos. Like, now it's becoming, in my opinion, a little bit too TikTok-y. Like, it's all about reels and videos and
that's Instagram's fault, not the end user's content. It's they're wanting us to do reels and it sucks.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. No, the reason it's becoming that is because they're prioritizing it. We don't get the reach we used to with a cool post. You can have a shitty reel that ends up reaching more people than an actual good thought out post.
Yeah,
Something to do with the shadow ban culture too, because it's like, man, like, I feel like they want people to give them money for ads for business accounts, and if you don't, then you almost get shadow banned anyway. If you're a cannabis account, you totally get shadow banned. But if you buy an ad for $5, your account will be unshadow banned miraculously for like a month. But then you're back to shadow banned again as soon as you stop spending money.
Didn't Night Owl have an issue with that though?
They don't even let us advertise. They actually ask us to advertise, and then we go to do it, they say we're not eligible. We are so shadow-banned that you have to type in our entire name, and it's not until you get to the last M or S that you will actually see our account. When you start typing in Beer Bros, you start seeing fake accounts and other accounts. Yeah. You literally have to type in our entire name.
It's the same as Dark Horse, it's the same as a lot of brands.
I would just funnel people over to Discord as another social media platform backup, just because like I feel like none of that is happening there. All the problems we're complaining about on Instagram, it's like it just doesn't seem like it's happening on Discord. And most people are going there.
So go ahead, Joe.
Well, on Instagram, they don't care. We're such a small percentage that they're deleting and shadow banning. They don't care. They just fucking don't. It's that simple.
Well, and they're such a behemoth that it goes even beyond that. With our Friday Sesh newsletter, we attempted to actually do some paid sponsored ads to get signups for that, because we'd seen other cannabis publications doing similar things on Facebook and on Instagram. And we crafted our ads around the same way we saw them crafting their ads. And literally the very first ad we put up at Virgin Accounts, created through Virgin emails, through Virgin IPs, not associated with Beer Bros Farms in any way, shape, or form, got shut down. And we have not gotten any response from them. And it was for people to sign up for a free newsletter. There was no mention of sales. There was mention of cannabis one time.
It was literally all the accounts we set up
for us now.
All the accounts we set up were for what we call our weekly newsletter, the Friday Sesh. Everything was started up as Friday Sesh with no connection to anything we do. Shut down day one. Couldn't even advertise. It was crazy.
Yeah, this it's pretty getting to a point of pretty ridiculous with the social media stuff, particularly Facebook own stuff or whatever. But even YouTube, you know, like this video will go up on YouTube, it'll be demonetized because I'm smoking weed. And it's like
they can't tell if you're consuming hemp though, so why is it that they're demonetizing
still, for some show? I mean, like if you're a big comedian or something, you can smoke on your show, but if you're just a Joe Blow that wants to smoke on your show, it's like you'll never be able to profit off of YouTube, which is strange. But Twitch has been a bit more friendly, but we know Ninja's been trying to partner on Twitch for years, and they really won't let him do it. So I don't know. It's definitely strange. But I guess back to Beard Bros Farms, I was going to ask you guys talk a little bit about the newsletter. What do people get when they sign up for the newsletter? It's kind of more of this, more in detailed, more detailed stories than what's on the Instagram, I assume.
Well, it's actually what it is. It generally tends to be a weekly recap. So you're going to get all of our stories, which is a link to all of our stories in one place, which is anywhere from 10 to 15 stories a week. We're going to aggregate other major stories that week, everything from entheogens to cannabis. We put in there, we have weekly statistics that people may not be aware of. So it's neat little tidbits of information. We also write content creation for brands. So you might see a brand story in there as well.
Gotcha.
It's basically a weekly recap. So somebody who's busy all week can get our one newsletter and know what happened in cannabis for the last 7 days.
Would it be specifically more industry folk, or would this be anyone who's interested in home grow, cannabis in general, general cannabis news, or is this sort of like the industry insider headlines?
It's actually all of the above.
I think it definitely does lean a little bit more to the industry side, but we try to balance that out because, you know, at one point, as Bill pointed out, we were home growers. We've been each link of the chain we've been. So we understand the perspective each one of those people are looking to see and how to cater to that each week.
Do you guys have, I guess we always ask people this, but do you guys have like favorite brands or favorite terps? Obviously you license your brand into the market, but is there something that you kind of as a go-to when you talk about in your newsletter, or someone who's continually making your newsletter in a good way as far as like, look at this hash, it's incredible, and these guys are turning or pushing the envelope, or even I'll throw it the other way, is there a brand in there that you constantly are shitting on because it's fucking constantly fucking up? But yeah, I'll throw that back at you guys.
Well, it's funny, the shit on ones are actually easier than the good ones. Now the good ones for us, you know, any of the legacy guys that are out there, you know, Clade 9 here in LA, those guys have been around for 20 years cultivating. Anybody that stuck it out like we did, got raided, arrested, put in jail, held at gunpoint, you know, handcuffed in the front yard. Anybody like that is going to be a brand that we're going to get behind. The brands that we don't get behind would be somebody like Dan Bilzerian, who luckily is gone. You know, brands like MedMen, who just came in and tried to essentially steal culture and lie about it, and then just turn out to be shitbags. So, you know, it's we get more coverage from the damn Bilzerian than we do talking fondly about the legacy guys. But we do tend to lean more towards talking about the good rather than the bad.
But I think that is one thing that you will notice that differentiates us some from the cannabis media and the cannabis journalism that you see around is we don't have a lot of favorites, and we don't play a lot of favorites and play up particular brands over and over again. Because while we understand and we operate within that hype side of the culture as well, there's a lot of people that are struggling right now and just looking to survive this season and next season, whether they be indoor, outdoor, light assisted, all up and down the supply chain. So I think that is a unique thing. And we have a unique perspective or unique position where we can operate in all of those different aspects of the industry and all those different crowds.
Makes perfect sense. I think we're getting towards the end of this thing. We generally ask for about 20, 30 minutes, and we're getting towards the back end of it. But Cees, do you have any questions? Or I'll ask you guys also, is there anything that we didn't bring up that you'd really like to talk about?
Nothing I really thought about that we haven't covered. I don't know if Cesar got any questions for us? Or
I think most of them got answered. They were mostly about the media stuff, if anything, off the top of my head right now. He kind of put me on the spot, so I don't have nothing right now. But, yeah, definitely most of the questions do come along as we do ask.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to go sign up for the newsletter, industry or not, you know, and check out what these guys are doing. They're, you know, obviously passionate about cannabis. Beard game is strong. They are beard bros with real beards. Yeah, I don't know. What's the length? I'll end it with this. What's the time it takes to grow a beard of that length? I am intrigued.
Well, that's funny. You know, I used to keep mine trim, but what you're seeing mine now is the post COVID where they wouldn't come anywhere near your mouth. It's like, get my beard trimmed for 2 years. Jeff actually is a good gauge. His beard has been very little trim, probably what, 10 years now or more? Wow. 11. Yeah.
It obviously the long ones fall out as dead ends and things like that. But no, I've actually only trimmed mine one time in the 10 years since we moved out to the West Coast. It's not even full length right now because it kind of tends to bunch up on its own a little bit over the course of the day. But yeah, this is about 10 years worth. Now, the funny thing is I've seen other people that we knew. Bill, actually, Rama from Green Street's a perfect example. His is as long as mine, if not longer. And he's only been growing his maybe 2 years or so. But I think it's all a matter of how much care you put into it and how much attention you give it. And I think Bill and I are both of the low maintenance side of our beards.
And no beard oil and brush and none of that stuff?
Not yet. A lot of people joke that that should be our swag or merch move.
Say, how do you not have a licensed beard product? Like,
yeah, no, it is funny. Honestly, I just use good soap. I just use good shampoo and conditioner, honestly. Like, everybody asks that. What beard oil do you use? None. I just use good shampoo and good conditioner.
Yeah, I sense a perfect opportunity for a beard shampoo licensing deal in the future. In
there
your
we
voice's
go.
Future. But yeah, so tell everybody on the way out, I guess, where to find you. We have on the screen beardbrosfarms.com. The IG is at beardbrosfarms. But is there any other spots they're missing? And how do they sign up for your email list?
Yeah, absolutely. So signing up for the email is simple. Go to beardbrosfarms.com. There's going to be a drop-down tab on the menu. There's going to be a drop-down tab menu on media, and you're going to see Friday says sign up. All we're asking you for is your email. So it's super easy. We're not getting in really intrusive, your age and all that good stuff. We are on Twitter at Beard Bros Farms. We are on LinkedIn, Beard Bros Farms again on LinkedIn. Jeff and I both have personal accounts on LinkedIn that we're active with. Ironically, the LinkedIn thing's an interesting one too. We didn't talk about that earlier with social media, but LinkedIn has not been very censoring at all of cannabis. Mm-hmm. We've only ever had like one issue with LinkedIn taking down one post and taking us off for a minute, but that's it. Facebook, again, Beard Bros Farms. We don't really engage that much with Facebook anymore. Meta's, you know, just not very friendly to us. But the main thing for us is our beardbrosfarms.com because nobody can take it from us. So you can always find us there.
Sure. Hit up the main one, guys. Go to the website.
You guys are elsewhere, but also if you're ever out in California, there's a very good chance you'll see one or both of us at events because we make a concerted effort to be out in the presence in the public at these events and be a part of the culture.
If you guys out there see these guys, come give them a hello, say what's up. And yeah, I like people that aren't afraid to show up at the events per se. Like if you're a news source and you're terrified to show your face at the cannabis events, like, yeah, exactly. Blacklist. then yeah, I don't know. I just, that's not a very trustworthy news source or whatever, but yeah, that's really cool that you guys are out and about. Didn't you guys in New York, were you guys just in New York?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. So I say, yep. You guys travel. They're part of the culture, everybody. So yeah, definitely sign up for that news list. And, I thank you guys for coming on the show. Sorry for our technical issues, but I think we got it sorted. And yeah, once again, thanks everybody.
Thank you for your time, guys.
We always do that. Thank you for inviting us.
Right on, guys. Thank you.
Have a good one. Thank you.
There you go. Appreciate you guys for coming on the show, Beard Bros. Like I say, beard game is strong. I didn't know 10 years it takes to grow some shit like that. Some commitment right there. But my brakes are in. All right, so the back end of the show, we got free shit, but real quick, I want to talk about the other title of the show, Cannabis or MMJ. MMJ doctors are bullshit. And basically what made me think about this was about a month ago, this is a little bit old news, but a D.C. mayor signed a bill to let medical marijuana patients self-certify without doctors, basically to sidestep a federal blockade. but I'll read one quick snippet. In a now enacted legislation from council members Kevin McDuffie and so-and-so, whatever, effectively creates a recreational cannabis system in the jurisdiction, enabling the district to circumvent congressional rider prohibiting D.C. from using local dollars to implement a system of adult-use marijuana sales. So basically, for people who are not from America that may be watching the show, Washington, D.C. is a weird place. It's not technically a state. It's like a province. I don't know. What the fuck is it called? Territory? Like, what the fuck is it?
What the fuck?
I should probably know this.
Yeah, it's kind of like Puerto Rico, a territory.
I think it's like, yeah, it's like a territory or whatever, but it's officially not really a state, but although our government runs out of there, but they are, it's like the it's federal system up there. But they've also been very marijuana friendly in D.C. for a long time. But basically what that says is they had a system in place that said they couldn't use any money to, like, public money to create a adult use public legalization system because it's all federally run up there. So they just said, fuck it, let people self-certify or self-diagnose that they can be medical, circumventing the whole thing, and as a way to become essentially recreational. Pretty clever little thing that they did. But that got me thinking about doctors in general and who are cannabis doctors. And I had a... Sorry, Caesar's closing the window. I had a dispensary a long time ago when the caregiver program initially started, and I worked with a ton of different doctors. One of them's in prison right now because he turned out to be this crazy old man who was like a pill mill, but he would write anything for a script. But here's like the truth about cannabis doctors or medical marijuana doctors. Generally, all of them have been blacklisted from the medical community for fucking up. We had a woman come in, and I looked her. I always Googled them to see who the fuck they were. And most all of them were completely, like, banned from family practices, working at hospitals. We had an OBGYN that had lost several kids, so she's not allowed to work at all. But they could never take your license from you in a sense where if you have a DO or MD, a lot of times they won't, like, yank the license. You just won't be able to be hired anywhere because you're essentially blacklisted. So all these shit doctors that had nowhere to go started basically what you consider, like, the pill mill doctors down in, like, Florida and shit. Those same kind of mentality of doctors that have fucked up their careers but have an avenue to write $100 to $300 scripts for something, and they know that marijuana is relatively safe. A lot of the doctors are complete pieces of shit. And, yeah, I've seen several of them come and go. So in my opinion, medical marijuana doctors are generally bullshit. Like, and if DC is going to self-certify, then, like, it just kind of proves the point that this is a drug that you don't even need a prescription for. It basically should be over-the-counter medicine. You know what I mean? It's like there's nothing in here. You can't kill yourself from this shit. I mean, there's plenty of shit you can buy at the over-the-counter right now you can kill yourself with. So
kill yourself from drinking too much water.
Exactly. But I'm kind of, I don't know. This is a silly thing that has allowed a shady part of the industry to exist. You know, so people can, I'm not going to say people are faking medical shit. I'm sure it happens out there all the time, but it's like, so you can go in and see a half shady doctor and be like, man, my back's sore from a long fucking time ago. Write me this fucking thing. And then you're good for a year and you got to renew it every fucking year to continue to do this program.
You that way have to worry about being shady because they're being shady too.
That's like, this is the only thing you can do. That way the cops don't pull you over and fuck with you because you can pull out this medical card and be like, all right, we're good. This is a lot of medical only states have to operate in this fashion. So you're basically, I don't know, like, forced to go through these shady doctors to get these scripts. But I don't want to generalize all doctors, first of all. I should preface this with, there are some doctors who are incredibly courageous. The earliest doctors who spoke out, some of the, like, doctors McCormick spoke about, and some of the early doctors in Oakland, and the doctors that were willing to risk being chastised and blackballed and everything else for speaking out in the favor of cannabis. So not all doctors are bullshit. There are some incredible doctors out there. I wish I had a list that I could name for you, but there are some incredible doctors out there who went to bat for cannabis rights, medical rights. But behind them, there is a train of pieces of shit that aren't allowed to work family practice anywhere or any hospitals. I mean, I saw doctors writing scripts out of fucking hotel rooms.
I had an experience where this was, I think it was, 2015. I was in California, got my 99 plant card and all that stuff, but when I went into the room to go and do the review, there was nobody there. I literally had to go into an empty room with a desk and a computer. I opened the computer, Doctor shows up and you can tell he's in Walmart. You just see all like the racks behind him. He's like on his phone, like doing a consultation while he's over there, and I'm sitting down just getting my card. This is weird. It's like the Skype doctor visit, kind of how we have to do for Emerald Cup and all that too.
You can get a medical marijuana card via Skype visit while living in Denver, Colorado. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you come up with an address for something in California, it just proves the whole system is a bullshit system for shady doctors to make a bunch of money. And that's kind of the thing that's frustrating about it, is that they should just abolish the whole thing, allow medical marijuana to basically be self-fucking-diagnosed. Like, if you feel like you need weed for medical reasons, you should be allowed to try it. You know, it's better than fucking Tylenol. But yeah, I don't know. The medical program seems to be dying everywhere in favor of recreation, which is another way of saying we don't need scripts and cards, which just everything should go rec. But at the same time, there's usually regulation around rec, which makes things way less potent and, you know, not as good a products, whereas medical, they are trying to deliver, you know, medical help through specific products that are large THC doses sometimes and things along that nature. So, yeah, I don't know. The medical program should definitely continue to exist. I just don't think we should have to pay doctors who are banned from working any other way to have medical access.
That's, I feel like medical should exist, but just not in the way that people are assuming that it might come, like after legalization, if they do reschedule, because I don't want to see weed on the counter at Walgreens and Rite Aid and
totally stuff like that. That's a sketchy proposition, but at the same time, yeah, there's like a weird thing where even if you wanted to be a grower, I'm sure this is still a thing out there, but there was two different prices depending on if you had an extended plant counts or not. So you go in to see the doctor and be like, well, do you want to have 99 plants or would you like 12 plants? And you're like, well, I want 99. Well, that's $500. Well, how much is the 12? That's $65, the special on the window. And you're like, okay, so there's tiers to what you're willing to write me based on prices. It's like, this is not a medical consultation.
It's not how much you're hurting and how much you need. Because it's weird. It's like, I remember you just say you need edibles, you get more.
That was the whole thing. Your extended plant count is say you need edibles. But at the same time, like, it just, when you walk in and they have a pricing structure based on the amount of plants they're going to subscribe, it's like, what kind of...
It's clearly set up for fucking profit.
It's a business. This isn't like a medical consultation at all. This is like a, okay, like, what would you like to do today? And how much protection would you like from the law?
I think I remember asking, like, how many people get turned away? They're like, you got to be a fucking idiot to be turned away.
Dude, our head grower got turned away. I don't want to say his name, but you know our head grower, whatever. He got turned away. I remember on our first dispensary, we had a good doctor come in, and he wasn't willing to just write crazy shit. He actually opened a shop across the street, Dr. Shackelford. I'll shout him out because he's a good doctor, and he's not like a pill mill. He's a legit doctor, and he's testified in the state floor many times. He's got a shop called the Merrimed on Broadway, but it was right across the street from our first shop. And I remember our head grower back in the day, I was like, you need to get a med card just because everyone in here, I want to have a med card and, you know, go see him. And he comes out and he's like, yeah, he's like, I can't really write him a card. He doesn't really have any ailments or anything. I was like, bro, I was like, did you not play basketball with us and like varsity? And, you know, every time you walk up and downstairs, your knees crunch. And I was like, you don't wake up perfect every morning. I was like, you got to go tell that guy you have some pain at some point in the day to get the card. And like, I had to talk him into it or whatever. But yeah, he literally wouldn't write him the card. I had to talk like him into going and saying that he had at least some pain to be able to get the card early on. But that kind of proves how stupid this whole program is, because if you're a truly honest person walking in there and you're not in, you know, level 10 pain, technically they're not supposed to write you the card. It was all under the guise of, you know, terminally ill patients, which then turned into back pain. And everybody has back pain.
Yeah, everybody can have back pain. But I think the ailment list here in Colorado was much stricter than other places. Like California, like the ailment list is like 200 and growing.
Insomnia, which was the other go-to.
Asthma.
Yeah, so like, all right. But I don't know. Like I say, I stand on it. Cannabis doctors, or specifically medical marijuana doctors, are bullshit in general. I'll put a little asterisk on there. In general.
99% of them.
There's a few incredible doctors that, you know, fight for us. But yeah, with that said, let's go to free shit. But let's do the winners of last week's free shit. I don't have a button for that. Right, hold on, I'm not prepared.
The free button.
I have the free button, but I don't have the last week's winners button. There it is. All right. Last week, Daz was on the show. We gave away a lot of shit, and everybody bombarded the fucking build the soil video, which was kind of hilarious to me. Like, they probably put in 150 comments over there. Fucking Dark Horse sent me. So sorry, Jeremy, for bombarding your channel, but everybody check out Build a Soil channel. Daz, what was the winner? Did you text it to me?
I texted it to you.
Okay, so Daz did a IG promo, which the winner on that one is Tetra Born Farms. And there's apparently two winners, and Joel BNYC.
Hell yeah, we got New York winners.
There you go. So, yeah, I'm sure Daz will contact you, but you won. I'm not even sure what the pack was because I didn't call Daz before the show, but you won. Also, we did Cody C won Caesar's premium packs. So we had to pick a random person on premium to win. Caesar's winner was Cody C, Skittle Snowman number 3 to Spritzer Femme Tester. And I did a free pack on Jeremy's video for Dark Horse Sent Me, which was Smoke Culture in the Build a Soil video. So you want a pack of Symbiote?
Symbiote.
Eric E. This was TH Caesar's NYC's email from last week. You won the Element Z, which I sent you a wrong email with the wrong, I think I put, lemon Z. Yeah, it's Element Z. Number 5 to Spritzer. You won that. We emailed you. Congratulations. And Eric H. A lot of Erics all of a sudden. Eric H. won the 91 bananas that he sent, that Daz put in the email also. So I think there's one more pack that we have to give away from the Build a Soil video, because there's, I think Daz sent away some auto people over there. So I'll get with Daz and we'll award that winner. I'll tell you about it next week. But yeah, that's probably the most free shit we've given away in a minute. Well, 100th episode, we gave away a lot of shit. But either way, a lot of free shit last week. Let's give away some free shit this week. It's free! Why the fuck are you on there? It's
because y'all want me to give away free shit, it looks like, I think.
It's me. All right, I'm doing it, even though it's actually Daz tonight. I think he's in the chat on Twitch, so shout out Daz. Night Owl Seeds, they're here, closest pack to me, so they're going out. Blue Microverse F5. If you want these, you're going to have to send me a simple email to darkhorsegeneticslive@gmail.com. In the subject line, write, MMJ doctors are bullshit. MMJ doctors are bullshit in the subject line, and I will pick the 100th person. 100. All right, Seeds, I'll put it on you. You can do some weird, exotic, strange giveaway. What rabbit hole are you going to make them go down this week?
So, to get any of these beans, you're going to have to be a member of the Seed Bazaar Premium.
So we got to change your section to free shit with conditions.
You're damn right. Because we're going to pretty much, give these out to people that are helping us, you know, with the donations and the support and however they can. I'm not saying that people that don't watch the show don't support.
How are we picking the premiums?
So it's going to be completely random. This one is going to be Cushman's to Spritzer. These should be Wash and Monsters. So this one is going to be another random person in the Seed Bazaar Premium. If you are a member, you are automatically enrolled to potentially win. There's a bunch of people to pick through, so we're just going to make sure I definitely don't pick the same person twice. But, yeah, these pretty much, if I should have enough, like, you know, every week, every other week to pretty much give away. But, yeah, if at this point, cbizarre.com/premium, that's probably going to be your best bet to get these. We're going to pick one random person from there. Next week, if I do this, I'm going to be doing the same thing. So just to give more people an incentive to want to sign up for cbizarre.com/premium, definitely this is probably going to be your only chance to get these, or unless I do a special specific giveaway in the future, that's probably going to be the only way to get them.
There you go. All right, so real quick, I just want to shout out Grower's Choice, sponsor of the show. I'm not going to do an ad read, but holy fuck, has the first crop that we've got to pull down since we installed these lights is marked difference.
It's night and day for sure.
So much better. We are crushing these rooms. And then I got a point too. We made a few wholesale changes. We changed the drip irrigation, shout out FloraFlex. But we also changed the lighting to these Grower's Choice ROI 720E or whatever.
ROI 720.
Yeah, ROI 720. But dude, we are crushing with these. And we're also playing with the UV bars. So yeah, I'm loving everything I see. We love Grower's Choice. Hit them up. Tell them Dark Horse sent you. Ask for an industry deal. And like I say, they're doing a trade out for like test drive on some equipment. They also have rebates on their website. So if you guys are into that rebate game by going LEDs, you can get some money back. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I save this for the end of the show. If you're here to the very end, I have a little secret for you. I'm going to put on the Seed Bazaar. I'll probably do 10 and 10. I'm going to put on the Seed Bazaar 10 packs of Solomon Grundy on premium and 10 packs of Solomon Grundy on regular side in about 15 minutes.
Bruce Banner 3 to Mac.
Bruce Banner 3 to Mac. I said I wouldn't. We released like 100 packs. I said I wouldn't really sell anymore, but I actually found a huge package of them, and I was just like, dude, these are amazing. Like, I don't know why I limited the idea that I would sell them, maybe to make them hype or something, but that was years ago, and now I just have these hype-ass seeds that are fire as fuck, and I'm like, why did I pull these back? Like, we should definitely put some more packs out, so... my guilt is what's almost making me list them. I'm like, let's put 10 more packs out, or 20 more packs out in general. But yeah, 20 more packs of Solomon Grundy, Bruce Banner to the Mac. Some really excellent shit was found in these seeds. But I'm going to throw them up on CBazaar. I won't even make them crazy expensive. It'll probably be 10 packs for somewhere around $100. But yeah, check those out if you guys want some special shit. Thanks for staying to the end. It's time for the Soulful Sounds of Stone Ninja. You got anything before we leave?
Yeah, I am going to be doing another giveaway next week. If anything, going to do a different format, but I'd say I highly recommend people tuning in next week for the other giveaway, which I'm going to have probably a lot of beans to give away. But again, with specific conditions, so just you're going to have to see the show next week to figure out how you're going to be able to get your chance at these. But it's going to be a really big one.
Caesar's teasing next week's shit. So yeah, tune in next week. Caesar's got some shit to give out, sounds like. So here we go. Stone Ninja. Peace, everybody.
Little pale gay fish, come sit on my shoulder today. Little gay parrot fish, sit on my shoulder today and make me a fried shrimpy dish with some soy sauce, baby. And as the beat drops, super, super fried. Super fried egg roll, triple fry, fry rice, triple fry rice, baby. 2-for-1 egg roll, super triple fry rice, triple fry rice, baby. Don't forget the soy sauce, chan chan chan.
There's my gay fish song, dudes. What?